Welcome to episode 69 of The Bull Run, the official podcast for snooker professional Stuart Bingham. This Cogito PR content is sponsored by renovation specialists R&J Carpentry and Construction. And it's a show in which I, sports journalist James Colasanti, asked the man nicknamed Bull Run about recent results, life on tour, and life in general. And just before we get underway, I just want to say a quick thank you to Taylor Wilson at TW Sports Management for letting us use a nice British Open promotional image of Stuart Bingham for this morning's episode. And also, Stu, we're just having a quick chat off air there. You were at a birthday breakfast this morning, I believe, and it was for John, who is, of course, in charge of our title sponsors here. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Got him a nice birthday card with number 5 on it.
Right.
Because that's his mental age.
I see. Yeah. What's yours then, for the record?
I don't know. I might be just a little bit older than that, my mental age.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was all good. Obviously, bumped into my uncle. It is his 59th birthday, and it's my brother-in-law's would have been his birthday today. Obviously passed away before I got with Michelle, so
right.
Yeah, obviously a good day for all, really.
Yeah, special day all round. Yeah. And a day of celebration. Happy birthday to everyone involved. Okay, well, listen, we'll plough on because since last month's episode, you've barely put your cue down, it seems, and there were a couple of brand new events as well. So we'll dive straight in, and as we usually do, we'll take it in chronological order. And we'll start with the first ever Zion Grand Prix, where there were wins over Zhao, Jing Hao, and Jamie Jones, and they came before a defeat to Zhu Xi. And obviously that the scoreline on that defeat suggests the loss was nip and tuck. And I had a look at it. I know he made a 51 and decided to win it, and he went on to progress to the quarters, where he lost to eventual champion Kyron Wilson. But overall, how was that event in China last month, mate?
Yeah, started off okay. Obviously had a young 16-17 year old lad sort of schooled him, really invited him to the bolt cushion. Obviously got a few mistakes off him and scored well. Went into the game with Jamie Jones. Good game, to be fair. I think I went 3-1 up, not really making a lot of mistakes. Jamie come back to 3-all. I think he made a 62 break in the next, and I end up dishing with 68 or something. And then I made another good 50-60 break to close out the match. So but yeah, come out of that match obviously feeling really good about myself. Went into the match with Zhu Xi. I think it was like 1-1, and then he didn't miss. Well, I might have been even 1-0 up, and then he didn't miss for 3 frames. He just sort of, I think, a couple of hundreds and everything. Probably a few loose safety shots sort of got to the bolt line, and he potted a couple of good long balls and sort of scored well off of it. Obviously 3-1 down, may probably end up going 3-2, could have gone 4-1 down. He ended up missing a couple of easy balls to sort of get one away. Got back in the match 3-all, should have gone 4-3 at myself, went 4-3 down, made a good 70 to go 4-all, and then I ended up missing a black off the spot, just tried to pinch a bit in the pocket, and it cost me, really.
Right.
Like I say, had a bit of nip and tuck with a few safeties. All the reds are up in at the bulk end, and I went for a long red and into the yellow pocket. It rattled, went across the table, and then ended up over the yellow pocket, and he made a 50-odd break for that, in the, obviously, to close out the match. But yeah, it felt like my game was good, strong.
Yeah.
Getting stronger and sort of showed that going into Saudi.
The event itself, just on Zion, a good, nice event. You enjoyed it, sort of, you know, was it run well and all of that kind of stuff? You kind of just, you know, enjoy the occasion?
Yeah, obviously, it was very hot outside, very humid. So, yeah, but the tournament itself, the city was beautiful.
Yeah.
One of probably the nicest we've been in China, so. Yeah, all in all, good tournament, and obviously, like I say, good for eventual champion Kyron.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just mentioned it. Next up was one. It's one the sporting world in general was keen to get a look at, the Saudi Arabia Masters. Cool, $500,000 on offer for the winner, of course. And Judd Trump's eventual payday there has him sitting pretty at the top of the rankings now. But it was also a very handy showing from you. You started with wins over Xing Zihao, Anthony Hamilton, and there was a dramatic late night 5-4 victory over Ding Junhui. It came after the tip of Ding's cue came off in the deciding frame, opened up an unusual opportunity for you to make a match-winning 63 break. Now, I mean, you've seen a lot in the game, but was that another new one for you?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I've played anyone that's had a tip come off, let alone obviously tip fly off and then touch a red.
Yeah,
sort of went into the reds and that. So obviously when the ref Olivier sort of come and said foul, and I was like, well, what's happened there? And right. then when he sort of, when Ding walked around the table, I see the tip on the table, and I'm like, I still couldn't work out what was a foul. And obviously Ding then went off to the office to get it glued back on.
Yeah.
And Olivier come up to me and said, obviously the tip come off and went into the red. So like I say, at the end of the day, it's obviously a foul. Got maybe a little bit of stick on social media that I should have just let him carry on, or but obviously I see it as a foul, and it is a foul. It's sort of,
absolutely. I mean, the ref's making the call. Obviously, he's applying the rules of the game, and that's just how it is. Yeah, it was his application of the rule. I watched the footage, and you know, it's his interpretation. It was the ref, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, like I say, it's one of those incidents that maybe probably will never happen again. A few people saying that. The sort of the rule may probably need to change, but I don't know if you can change it. If something hits the ball, or like I say, a tip could come off, go on the table, and a ball could come down, and it will sort of come off at a different angle if a ball hits the tip, sort of thing. But obviously, like I say, the tips hit a ball, it may probably ain't made any difference, but you just don't know. And
it's the same with clothing, though, I'd say, wasn't it? With loose clothing, it's a similar sort of theory. It's just you just got foreign objects on the balls of play. It's just that's the game, isn't it? I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah, like I say, it's one of those freak accidents that will never happen again. And it's just obviously a bit of ball run come my way. And I still had to obviously pot all the balls, but the way the match was, it was whoever got in scored, and obviously Ding got in the balls. He obviously made whatever it was a 30-yard break, and he opened the reds up quite nice, and obviously for that to happen, and then for me to clear up, it was just one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, I get the impression he's a man of few words anyway, but did Ding say anything to you afterwards, or you know, did he sort of comment on it, or you know, did he
as I shook his hand, obviously took me head, and like, it's just one of those things, and
yeah,
he just obviously said well done, and obviously it's just one of those, like I say, don't know what to say.
No, absolutely. You progressed in the tournament, obviously, but your run in Saudi came to an end in the last 16. It was a 6-2 defeat to fellow former world champ Mark Williams. You took the lead there. It was 2-2 at one point, but you took the next four frames to move on. Looking back on it now, do you think there's anything you might have done differently, or did he just win it rather than you lose it, as it were?
No, obviously the first four frames, I think I had four breaks over 60, and it was just one of those that, at one, like looking back at it, I should have been 4-0 up, and in the end, I was lucky to be 2-2. I got in, I controlled the sort of match, but got to the end of the frames, and like when I made 60 and missed, I made a couple of bad errors to sort of go 1-1. Made a sort of good like 60 break, didn't get into the reds. I sort of didn't really have an easy safety shot. I tried to push a red on the side cushion, left him a red, he cleared up. And then, like I say, in the end, lucky to get sort of 2-2 and then come back. He played a good frame to go 3-2. And then I missed game ball, red into the middle to go 3-3. It could have easily been, I could have easily sort of been 5-1 up instead of being 4-2 down. And it was just one of those matches that, just made a couple of bad mistakes at crucial times, and the rest is history, sort of thing. But yeah, obviously well played to him. He took his chances well, and like I say, he was obviously one ball away from winning the tournament.
1.
All that brings us up to date with your participation in the English Open at the Brentwood Centre this week. You played Wu Yeez and you lost 4-3. Wu, for anyone who doesn't know, was named Rookie of the Year in 2022. He made the semis in Wuhan last year. He's clearly another one of those young Chinese stars to keep a close eye on. But what was the story of that match, mate? Was it a tough one to take at a venue that we've previously described as your kind of home ground, given its close proximity to your home?
Yeah, I just can't seem to do well. I don't know if, like you say, it's sort of sleeping in my bed and just not feeling like a tournament or what. Right. But yeah, just he played well. He took his chances. I had a chance to make it 1-1. He played a good first frame. I had a chance to clear up, end up potting a black off the brown spot, try to come off the top cushion and back up for the yellow and. Just did it thick into the pocket, didn't get on the ball, and a couple of shots later he's cleared up to go 2-0. And then I played two good frames to go 2-2. Made a bad safety error, started the fifth frame, let him in to make a 40-50 break. I'd end up having a chance to nick it in the end. I needed a snooker, got a free ball, and had a chance to win it, but just didn't get on the last red as I wanted, and then at 3-2 down, made a good 100 to go 3-3, and then obviously decided it's a toss of a coin. He got maybe probably the better chances, got down to about three or four reds left, got the black, opened the last three reds up that was on the cushion behind the black, and end up a red dropping in from splitting the reds. And then he had control of the frame then from then on. So again, it's one of those matches that I felt really good. The game's there. It was just one of those that I've just come off losing again, and it's getting a bit frustrating. But I've got to try and keep on the sort of front foot and be positive.
Thank you. The second frame.
Okay, we'll move on to a part of the show where we weave in something a little bit more lighthearted. It's Carla's ever so question. Carla's ever so clever question. And from a few social media comments, seems to be low level popular with some of our listeners. I guess what it is in essence is a perspective from a person who would never claim to be a diehard sports fan, let alone a snooker enthusiast. Anyway, she shared her latest pearls of wisdom when I dropped her off for work this morning, and she asked me to ask you. Have you ever known a snooker player so short that queuing was a bit of an issue on those big tables? Just to give that context, I think her interest in this area comes to the fact that Carla herself is vertically challenged at about 5 foot nothing. And I guess what she's driving at is somebody who would rely on the rest and extension a lot. So have you ever known of played a particularly short snooker player over the years?
I'm trying to think. I remember Martin Clark, who is in the tournament office, obviously when we play tournaments, he was quite short.
Yeah.
I remember growing up watching him and thinking he's obviously good. He must be good with the rest.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think anyone that's even smaller than Martin. I can't think. Obviously, when you're growing up in juniors, you see
I was going to say, you obviously play the younger players, don't you? The young teens and kids and all that kind of stuff. I suppose you see it there, don't you? Where they've kind of got it put into play. Not particular issue for you. You're about 6'2" yourself, aren't you? I'm
about 6 foot.
Oh, right. Okay. But you've never sort of personally sort of struggled, do you, to get around? You always look like you can get everywhere, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I seem to do all right. Like I say, I remember sort of players even putting the blue back on its spot using their own cue.
Right.
Because they can't reach for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So they use their cue or get the opponent to re-spot the sort of blue for them or whatever. But
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I feel like Carla's interest comes in the fact, like I said, she is based from Lilliput. You know, she's got these little T-Rex up. She can never reach anything. And I think she's I think she stood next to a snooker table and she just sort of thought, oh, blimey, it's quite a lump. But
yeah.
I will let her know. Anyway, we will finish up with a look ahead to next week's British Open. You start in the last 64 against the winner of the clash between Belscu Revez and Ali Carter in what is, I read, a random and unseeded draw. It's the fifth ranking tournament this season. It will take place at the Centaur Arena, which is part of the Cheltenham Racecourse complex. It's the best of sevens to get started. It will be shown on ITV4 and $100,000 up for grabs for the winner. How much are you looking forward to this event, mate?
Yeah, as I say, at the moment, I feel my game's good, and I'm looking forward to every time I'm getting my cue out. So, hopefully it'll be a good week. Like you say, it's just sort of thick and fast now. Straight after that, we've got qualifying for the international. And then I'll go to China for some more Chinese Hable. And then get back from there. And I've got, I think, the Northern Ireland. So, it's no rest for the wicked, as they say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Brilliant. Well, it only remains for me to say thank you for your time today, Stuart, and wish you the best of luck for the action in Cheltenham.
Thanks, James. Cheers.